It's Saturday, 26th of March. Welcome to episode 81 of Digital Outbox. Hello again, thanks for tuning in. Joining me this week, it's Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hi, Ian.
Hello.
Hi.
nothing else to say. Hello.
Hello.
Everything doing fine at your end?
Great today, yes. Really pumped up for the podcast today.
Let's get straight in. More iPad 2, because Chris is not here. I'm just convinced he was here, he'd be like, oh, for goodness sake, again. But iPad 2, I guess what we've had over the last week, all the prices, and it launched yesterday.
Indeed it did.
And it was a big successful launch.
Yes, I don't know that there was anybody that was predicting that it wasn't going to be successful, but it was incredibly successful, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they've done the same as America and put the launch time was 5 p.m, which almost guarantees a decent queue, no matter what the weather or what the product was. People exactly. Will queue.
People will queue. And
there was 600 queuing at the Glasgow Apple Store.
600.
And I know from a certain Shaquille, who no longer podcasts with us, but there was at least 23 at John Lewis, because he was number 23. and I think there was queues dotted all over the place, certainly in Glasgow and in stores around the country. But I think one difference this year, the Apple have got loads of stock, because I was in there today, and I must point out I have not bought one. I was in there today, and they're still selling loads of them. Now, you were going to pick one up. Have you picked one up yet?
I have not picked one up yet, and the reason for that is I just can't really kind of work out around about personal hotspot. And whether I should really go for a 3G one or a Wi-Fi one. I don't really need one on the first day that they're launched. So we shall, but certainly in the next 2-3 weeks, I expect to pick one up, having made my decision as to which model I should go for.
Good, good. The only slight surprise was there was a small, very small price drop. So the basic, I'm saying basic, it still does an awful lot. But the Wi-Fi only 16 gig of storage is now $399 down from $429, and basically everything else has had a little cut like that as well. Which is good to see. But I think it was the Guardian had pointed out that the exchange rate has weakened, the dollar's weakened against the pound, so they're actually making more money at these price points.
Yes, and that's the way Apple do business. You know, if you want to pick up a cheap iPad, take a cheap flight to the States.
Absolutely. My little play with an iPad in store today, definitely lighter, definitely quicker. Shaquille's comment last night was very telling. He says it's an iPad. I think if you've used an iPad 1, you will notice that it is faster and it does feel lighter and these kind of things. It won't be the same as buying a brand new iPad for the first time. I think if you've not got an iPad 1, but it's like, oh boy, oh boy. I had a little play with Photo Booth, and it's just, you see something like that running and it's the thinness now, and it's just like, that is really incredible.
Yeah.
And GarageBand is just, oh.
Now you have GarageBand for your iPad 1, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And it works fine, but sluggish in certain places. But considering it's only £3, the range of keyboards in there is amazing, and the flexibility. I'm kicking myself. I wish I knew what I was doing, because. Because I would pump out some mean tunes if I did. It's amazing. It sets a bar, you know, for anybody else coming in with an app. It really does set a bar. And I'm sure, I mean, the demo iPads at the store today were just getting hammered. There was queues to just use them. And as I said, it was all around. You could just see people buying iPads. I'd love to know how much money they take in the UK alone, just in the last couple of days.
Well, I might see if I can find out how much they took yesterday or today.
So. The covers, very, very nice. And also a very nice price, £60 for the leather cover.
Eye-watering.
Eyewatering.com. I do think it was they didn't have any on display, and as you've pointed out, especially in the Glasgow store, because they would walk
when they wouldn't be able to keep up with the people walking out with them.
But very kindly, a normal cover and a leather cover were taken out. You could feel the difference. The leather one just felt better quality.
You'd hope so for an extra 20-30 quid.
It's definitely not £20 worth better quality, don't get me wrong, but it felt better, and it smelt better as well. So these are important considerations.
Well, they are. I mean, that's why you buy a leather product, isn't it? To sniff it all the way home.
How much did I spend? That much. So if you did pick up an iPad 2, enjoy it. Fantastic product. We have a couple of competitors in the last week have brought out some interesting news. So Samsung, they had launched a couple of months ago their Galaxy Tab 10.1, and they said it was coming out later this year. Well, they've only gone and revised it already.
Already, yep.
You know, so brand new design, a lot lighter. You know, so it's... it's not a lot lighter. It's only a few grams lighter. I lie. I was about to say it's like a whole load more lighter, but that's a crazy angst, you know, the pound nonsense.
Yeah. Well,
get,
you know,
metric.
What I did like about this one is they've made it an awful lot thinner as well, haven't they?
And yes.
They've said it's 8.9 millimeters or something, or whatever it was. They said that it was that's obviously slightly thinner than the iPad 2. Now, when they announced this, these new thinner iPads were kind of all behind glass cases and no one was able to have a look at them. But somebody managed to get hold of one and has taken a picture of, we'll see if we can get it in the show notes, of the two, the iPad 2 and the new Galaxy Tab on a table, obviously, and this Galaxy Tab, which is thinner, is definitely thicker than the iPad 2. So I don't know, you know, that we've been used to manufacturers exaggerating the claims of performance and things of that. Maybe Samsung are now doing exactly the same, but with millimeters, they're using a different standard of length and measure to everybody else, so that they're thinner.
So
their tablet is,
according,
they can claim it's thinner.
Well, according to Samsung, they were claiming it was 8.6 millimeters thick, and the iPad 2 is 8.8. So you are down it. You know, it's a very small difference. But as you said, side by side, the iPad was definitely thinner.
Definitely was, wasn't it? It definitely was.
And I just love the fact that when they asked Samsung, all they could say was, "Well, no comment apart from it is thinner."
Yes,
but look, open your eyes.
It's 8.8 millimeters.
But that whole their whole press conference was thrown into a bit of it was a bit of controversy, because they basically paid for a couple of actors and actresses to talk about how good it was, but they said it was random people that had, as they went round, you know, New York had been asked for their opinion. They didn't even change the actors or actresses' names, you know, so it wasn't like, you know, we spoke to Jeff. Who's it was like they said, we spoke to, you know, like, you know, I don't know, Alan Cumming. Oh, he's an actor, is he? Oh, I didn't know that. So a bit poor, but I think it shows you how hot the sector is. The fact that they've redesigned this in apparently no time at all,
and had to drop the price as well, of course, to match.
Yes, so the price is matching the iPad 2 prices. But the one difference with Samsung as well, they don't just have. I mean, Apple have got one product line. You know, or sort of got one size, sorry, and you know, different variations of memory and whether you want 3G. But not only have we got a 10.1 and you've got the 7, They've also got an 8.9. So they really seem to be trying to cover all the, you know, whatever you want, Samsung will offer you a tablet and it looks like inch increments as well. So it'll be interesting to see when it finally comes out, because like most tablets that are being announced at the moment, they're not out. This isn't out now to early summer. They're talking around June time in America.
Yeah. And I think we'll see very, very quickly, as we've said many times on the podcast, about some discounting it once these things come out in the UK. So, and I think they'll have to get them off the shelves, because if it's just the same as an iPad, maybe the new Honeycomb will make a difference. But certainly, having played with one of these, the old versions before, it does seem sluggish and doesn't seem to have the same appeal as an iPad.
No, I mean, even the Engadget reviews of Zoom were very, you know, they were good, but there was all the kind of buts and caveats at the end. And I think the fact that the Motorola have reduced the kind of, or they're rumoured to have reduced the manufacturing runs already, I think tells a story.
Absolutely.
Another competitor is RIM. So the RIM Playbook launches April 19th, so not too far away, 3 weeks. A few months later in the UK. It was much rumoured, but they've confirmed it. It's going to come with two application players that will run Android and BlackBerry Java applications. So developers can kind of take their Android-developed applications and with a little bit of changing and configuration, it'll run on Playbook.
Right, so that'll be rubbish then.
it only supports Android 2.4 OS applications, so you know, apps built for a phone, not a tablet. And
you're running on top of something else, so it sounds like some sort of virtualization kind of. So I hope they've got a really fast processor in that, because it's going to need it.
And to be fair, I think they do. If I remember back, I think they were doing a lot of multitasking demos that showed a lot of performance. But I think as a user buying that and saying, well, what am I buying? Am I getting an app from does that come from a different app store? Can you still buy apps? It just all sounds really confusing. You know, and that's the simplicity of like an app. I know I sound like a fanboy, but that simplicity of having one store and just being able to buy apps from it crack on.
I mean, I do think, though, that the only way the Playbook was ever really going to be a success for RIM was if it did run Android apps. So, I just think that was a no-brainer and really something that they had to do. But we'll see how it goes.
Yep. Just while we mention app stores, Amazon have finally launched their app store as well.
Now, this really was interesting, wasn't it? The stuff that they were coming up with to do with that. So,
we knew this was coming because of they've been advertising or trying to entice developers to join, you know, this Amazon. Originally, it was going to be like a mobile app store, they're calling it, but I think they have, it's for the moment just called an Android app store. It's in America only at the moment. It's Android only at the moment. And I guess that there's two things that I think really stand out. The first one is you can test drive the applications from your web browser.
No, that is very good.
Yes. So similarly, you can click test drive and an emulated instance of Android is launched and you can test the app.
Now, how long does that last? Is there a time limit on that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's a good question. I mean, it's using Flash as well, so I'm just wondering, are certain games going to really struggle? It's one of these things. I just don't know if you're going to get a good enough environment to equate to running a mobile phone. I mean, it should be.
It
should be fine, but some of the games are getting quite advanced.
Definitely.
If they've been set up to, use a lot of textures, use a lot of 3D, I can see that being an issue. But it's certainly a really good feature and something that I don't think anybody else is doing. I think that is unique. The second thing they're doing is a free app of the day. So Amazon will pick a premium application and make it free to consumers. And so it's enticing people to their store. And something I didn't know until I actually read the article, it's Amazon set the price for the apps. It's not the developer.
Yeah.
So
that really will mess things up or shake things up anyway, won't it?
Yeah. So as a developer, you set a list price, which is the price you normally sell it at. Amazon then use market factors to determine the price they want to use, and you get 70% cut of the proceeds of each sale. If Amazon do steeply discount your app or offers it for free, you're guaranteed to get 20% of the list price.
Right. So where's the money for that coming from then? That sounds like that's going to be quite expensive for Amazon. But it sounds pretty good for a developer, actually, because, you know, I still think that a lot of the things now that we're seeing is development of mobile apps is much more a marketing problem than a programming problem.
Yes.
And a lot of, small mobile app developers are not that hot on marketing, and Amazon have got huge amounts of data to be able to work out whether they how to market your app. So you know, if they pick it up, then that's pretty good.
Definitely, I think it's a really good point you make as well. It's not just developing a good application or game in the first instance; it's then getting a consistent message out, so hitting all the popular application sites, I guess sending out demo codes to all the reviewers and getting as many reviews as you can, getting it's that first day getting good reviews so that people can see that's it's getting 4 stars, 5 stars.
Yep.
We've seen the difference. If you can get your app into that top 20, top 10, it's gold.
Absolutely. Absolute
gold. So day one, Angry Birds Rio was the first free app. So I'm sure a lot of people, because the actual installation process is horrid. Just to get the Amazon App Store on your Android phone is an eight step process. So not entirely easy. But once it's in there, and I guess by putting Angry Birds Rio as its first free app, I mean it's telling people, come to our app store and you get this for free, or you can go to the Google's own one and you can pay for it. So, I think Amazon will. I've written in here they'll start undercutting Google's own prices. It'll be interesting to see in a year's time whether is Amazon totally dominating, Android app stores.
And I just want to go back to that thing. You do say there's 8 steps to install the Amazon apps. It's like, kind of get an SMS type thing. And, it's not exactly onerous to get it up and running. But I wonder if that will be a bit of a... I think if people are motivated... Part of the thing, I think, with Android is actually, do people know that these things are around and available?
And that's what I was going to say. There's a difference between having an icon on your home screen that says, buy an app here, and having to go to a website. And fair enough, Amazon's a massive name. So I think anybody that's got a smartphone probably visits Amazon.
Or
will eventually get there.
I still think that the problem with Android is you're never really totally sure how a particular Android app is going to work on your particular device. Because it's really difficult to tell. And if you're actually shelling out cash for something which might not actually... kind of look the way you expect or the way it looks like on your, you've got a demo now. It's not nearly as user friendly for the consumer as the Apple version. But then maybe most people don't care. We shall see.
Yeah. One company that does care is Apple. They've sued Amazon over the use of the name App Store, which is no big surprise because Microsoft are trying to destroy that particular patent. So Amazon are just applying what they own. I think all that kind of stuff's rubbish. We've debated it time and again.
Yeah, it's a nonsense, isn't it? Stick with innovation, App Store. I mean, it is an App Store, and people still call it an App Store even if they're not allowed to call it an App Store,
No, so what's the easy option? Just call it application store, mobile app store. It just ends up in all that nonsense. One thing I will say, there has been quite a lot of talk about it. I still think Amazon are going to launch a tablet.
You think?
I was talking about it. A couple of guys at work have Kindles, and just how the price is dropping. There was an article a few months ago saying that if you take the trend line of pricing on a Kindle, this November is when it goes free. You know, just based on cuts in the previous years. And I do wonder, you know, will it be free for Prime users? You know, so Amazon are doing a lot of things around their Prime customers, especially in America, where they're saying, you know, you can get, you know, movie streaming for free if you're a Prime customer. And you just wonder if they would say, you want a Kindle? Crack on. I still think they're going to bring a tablet out. And they've got a music store, they've got a video store, they've got an app store. It just seems, you know, they bring out a colour tablet. You know, and it's just massive market, massive. And
who do you think would make that for them, though? That's the thing.
Well, I don't know who makes a Kindle.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah, I mean, yeah, right. I don't know. I guess it's the same, is it? I mean, could they just market themselves the way as Apple market it? You know, so who makes the actual iPads just now? It's good design. And I think the latest Kindle is a far better design than the first one. You know, so whether they're starting to get some better talent around their designs, I don't know, or whether it's just a cost issue. I still see within a year we'll have an Amazon tablet. I think that'll be the colour Kindle. It'll be an Android device. They'll have their own app store baked in, and it'll have the music service, and it'll have a video service. And it'll be, I think, the proper rival to Apple.
Well, there we go. You heard it here first. An Amazon tablet. Ian predicts.
No, Henry Says is far more catchy.
Henry Says.
I bought that domain and did hee-haw with it. I must get my finger out.
You must. But we've got another kind of related Amazon story, haven't we? The Lendl.me. Now, I hadn't heard of Lendl before this week. Had you, Ian? Had you heard?
Yeah, I mean, he'd won a few Wimbledon titles, I think, back in the 80s.
Right. Okay. That's completely thrown me now. But anyway, Lendl is basically, it's been going for about 6 weeks now.
Sorry.
yeah, moving swiftly on. Have you got that tumbleweed effect?
It'll be brought out the cupboard.
Brought out the cupboard. That's worthy of me, that is. A joke like that. But anyway, Lendl are... really what they've decided to do, what they've set up is in America... When you buy a Kindle book, some of them, depending on what the publisher has allowed, allow you to lend that to somebody else with a Kindle for 2 weeks. So you can see when you go onto the Kindle store, when you're buying a book, you can see whether it will allow that book to be lent out. We've talked a bit about this before, and about, you know, the thing about physical books is you can pass them on to other people, and that with you know digital books, that's not really possible. So this is something that was quite interesting. So what Lendl do is basically they've just, like a kind of a social network kind of thing, they've got everybody together that's that wants to sign up. And you can share the books that you've bought so other people can borrow them. And it works so that initially you get 2 credits to borrow books. And if you lend the books that you've already bought, then you get more credits to borrow other books. Interestingly, it was set up because they wanted the guys... It was set up by somebody, a published author. So he wasn't wanting to stop people buying books. He was trying to encourage book buying, even on Kindle. But earlier this week, we read that their Amazon API access had been revoked. So basically, that just shut down the site because that's how they work out what you've got to borrow. Anyways, a big outcry, and they're back up and running now. So you can we've put in the show notes links there to the story and to Lendl.me, their version of the story. The interesting thing for me as well, I found here was that that in business you really got to be in control of key data that you need to run your business, and they've got an article up there saying that that's what they realized when Amazon Amazon's whim basically could shut down their whole business, which is the way these things go. So they're looking at an alternative way of running the lending service without using the Amazon API, which I'm not sure that they can do, but good luck to them. It's just a shame, I find, that Lendl's a US only, because publishers in the UK don't allow you to lend your Kindle books. So hopefully Amazon will get that sorted out, because I think it's a key thing of actually sharing, you know, books and things that you've read.
It's the one thing that the Kindle owners I know right now, or I shouldn't just say Kindle, because that applies equally to anybody in iOS or anybody using, you know, iBooks, like the three people that have bought books via iBooks, that it's, you know, I can take a physical book and I can give it to somebody. I can send you it through the post. You could around at my house, you can pick it up. And an electronic one, which is far easier to share, I can't do a thing with it. You know, and it's and they could do it. There are ways they could say, well, we'll give you 10 loans.
Yes, they could do.
You know,
or they could make, or they could reflect the fact that you can't do that by making it cheaper.
Yep.
So you would buy it more than once.
Yes, and we've covered it before, and no doubt we'll cover it again. And I think it's a great point you make about controlling key data. You know, you set up a business around Twitter just now, and they changed their. And it's the same in some ways with iOS. You're an app developer, and if you sail close to the wind with those developer rules,
yep.
You know, you can be shut down so quickly. And no amount of moaning and blogging. It's you are a very small fish in a very polluted pond.
That's right. But, you know, sometimes whinging is all you can do.
Oh, and we're great. That's a particularly key skill. But no, it's good to see it back up. And as you say, it's I can only hope that the UK companies eventually start to allow their books to be lent.
And I must say that it's probably one of the best thing that could have happened to them, really, in terms of, I mean, everybody's, loads more people have heard of Lendl now than ever heard of it before. So it's probably brilliant publicity for them. Now that they've got their their API access back, if Amazon hadn't sorted that out, then it would have been a different story. But
well, would so many people have downloaded and paid for the Fart app if it hadn't been such a controversial first, you know, block in that app store?
Absolutely.
Three stories now, all about the number four. I have just noticed.
Can we not add another one? That would make it much better.
No, just total fail. I'm trying to think of one.
Anyway, it would have been a better link, you know, if we'd had four stories about the number four.
Yeah, thanks for that. Now you tell me. So the first one, and this is just a kind of me one. Since iOS 4.3, I've found my battery performance in iPhone 4 has just been slightly less.
Do you know, I hadn't noticed this until you mentioned it. And I hadn't put it down to 4.3, but I did notice today, I thought, you know, my battery's running down much quicker these days. And yeah, I hadn't put it down to that. But
it seems to take just all of a sudden, like kind of jumps as well. I'm not saying it's jumping from like 50 to 10 in the space of 2 minutes, but instead of just smoothly degrading over time, which you'd normally expect, I seem to, you know, I notice it at, you know, 70%, and then a couple of hours later, I'm noticing it 30. And it's like, what's happened? I've done nothing.
Yeah.
A lot of others have seen it as well. So there's a 9to5 Mac story about it, and I never really trust polls too much, but the polls did seem to say that more people were seeing it than weren't. But generally, people will moan and decide to vote rather than saying, "Oh yeah, I'm not affected. I'll vote for the non-affected." There was a tip to say to disable ping, because that seemed to be getting touted in various forums has been an issue. It didn't seem to make much difference for me, but 4.3.1 came out yesterday, and there's some rumours that it does address battery issues. And certainly today, it seems to have stood up quite well. So I'm hoping that's just a kind of one-off issue. Didn't notice anything on the iPad. It was just purely iPhone.
And you've had some issues with your battery on the iPad, have you? Or?
Well, I did, and then I've cleaned up. I had a 3-week period where it just seemed to be every couple of days I had to, which makes me think it was maybe a rogue application. You know, is there something running
in the background that was,
know, and there's an app update. You know, it's just cleaned it up. You know, we've seen that from you know, is it been using some geolocation stuff and not shut down properly, or is it just been slightly, you know, sub-performing or doing something crazy? I don't know. Well, I will never know. All I know is it's back to normal. Because I think if I had kept going, there's probably more chance I'd bought an iPad yesterday or today, just to kind of, because it was irritating. Staying with the number four, we will have a 4G auction in the UK next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you remember back to, I don't think I put the, when we did the 3G auction, I want to say about sort of like 8-10 years ago, but maybe it was more recent than that. But there was a crazy bids for all the 3G auction, which brought in billions.
And ruined a lot of the companies as well, who realised that they couldn't actually make the money back that they'd paid for the. So, and this is what really gets me, because the government will be thinking, oh yeah, we're going to make the same amount of money as we made the last time, or loads more. And of course, you know, the we're completely different economy. Part of the economic cycle and everything as well. So, well, let's just see.
Yes. They reckon they're going to get around 4 billion. That's their expectation, because this is 80% more spectrum. So, and it should offer faster speeds, particularly around data. I guess we could make some sort of joke about, will three rename themselves, or will three change, or will three go for it, and all that kind of good stuff, but I don't think it really matters.
Well, they don't have much of a 3G network at the moment, do they?
Ouch. Actually, I use 3 on my iPad.
Do you?
And I find it really good compared to O2. There are times when O2 has been really flaky, and it's been really good for me. And then last sort of 3-4 weeks, particularly, I guess, the exchange near our work, or the 3G tower or whatever they're called, has been really struggling, and 3 is always there.
Well, there we go.
There you go. And just a little point, the article was talking about the UK falling behind. So if you look at like Germany, USA, Sweden, they've already started rolling out the 4G networks. And, you know, we're just selling on part of a spectrum next year. But they're, according to the mobile telcos, they're saying if it all goes to plan, it'll be 2013 before we see any of these faster services. And I do wonder, with America especially getting it, how many of these mobile apps will start to expect large broadband type speeds being available on your mobile phone.
There is that, Ian, but I think because the charging for data on the mobile platforms is still so astronomically expensive, still charging by kilobyte in some cases.
Yes.
You've got a 3G or a 4G network and you're charging by the kilobyte. Then until that kind of catches up, I think the impact of that will be, won't be as big as it really could be. But yeah, you know, we have seen it particularly on the web, you know, kind of 10 years ago, as broadband kind of became more and more prevalent. Websites certainly, didn't they, became more and more bandwidth hungry. And, you know, you certainly noticed it if you were still on dial-up. In fact, you still notice it today if you have to use a really slow dial-up connection. You're really,
or you stay in a hotel.
Yes. You think, gee, has nobody got to
stay in a hotel on £15 for 24 hours of really crud access? Or you can just buy a dongle and just go yaboo. Anyway, my favourite story this week. Wife says no, Apple says yes.
I did love this.
This was posted in Mac Rumors on the 18th, so I've quite a few days ago now, but we've not done a podcast for a wee while. So I think it's the usual when you launch a new product, you're going to get people returning, you know, there's a fault somewhere, and I think they were saying there was some yellowing on screens and some other issues that people were seeing. So there was quite a few iPad 2 returns. One iPad came back, and there was a post-it note on it that said, "Wife said no." So this was escalated from the store, and it went up the chain until it got to a couple of vice presidents, and they decided to send the customer an iPad 2 with a note on it saying, "Apple said yes."
Wife says no, Apple says yes. You can't, that's just what makes Apple great, isn't it, really?
Mac snobs, that's all I'll say.
Mac snobs.
Mac snobs. If Chris was here right now, we'd no doubt get some sort of Android anecdote.
Yes, because Google do that all the time, don't they?
Absolutely.
Let's be fair. You know, the last Android, we were talking about it the other week there about Google giving away hardware to every developer at their developers conference.
So. Oh, absolutely. Well, I think the reason that people, the guys that went last year, I think it cost $400 and they walked away with $600 or $800 worth of phones because they got two phones.
Ka-ching!
I think everybody's expecting a tablet this year.
Ka-ching!
That's our stories for the week. We're now going to some picks.
Some picks.
I'll do mine first. It was a quickie, but it's a goodie. The Sky News iPad app. This is actually, so it's another news app, and I think if you've not used it, you'll be thinking, oh, yaboo, another news app, so what? It is actually, I think, the most impressive news app I've seen. Very, very focused on video. So you get a timeline of stories that come in through the day. You can swipe through that timeline. You click on a video and it starts, you know, very quickly. It's not the usual, you know, 10, 15 seconds waiting for it to stream. It's within 3-4 seconds and the quality is excellent. You can then shrink it down so you can still view it, and there's associated media. So there might be an image, there might be a map of, you know, Libya and where there's some fighting going on and all that kind of good stuff. And you can swipe through all that, still hearing the video. You can't see it at that point. But I'm just blown away with how much content's on it. It is actually, it's massive when you compare it to the other apps that are out there. And the thing that got me was it was free. And I should have known. It's free at the moment, and it will remain free for Sky customers. But if you're not a Sky customer, you're going to have to pay for it. And there's no surprise, because when you look at the quality of the video, it must be costing a hell of a lot to stream all that. But very impressed. I think if anybody's picked up an iPad 2, you should certainly throw that on and go wow.
Go wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that is an interesting point there about the pricing of that, making things free for Sky customers and paid for by everyone else. It's quite a good promotional tool thing, that as well, isn't it, to get people onto Sky already.
They've been doing quite a lot of them. I've not mentioned about the 3DS came out yesterday, and I actually had a little go on a 3DS in John Lewis today, and it was, the 3D was very noticeable.
Well, you know, I don't know. I played that. It must be one of the demo games with
Pilot
Wings. It's a little. Yeah. It's just a little card that goes on the table.
Oh no, it's not Pilot Wings.
Oh no, it's not. Well, there's a little card that goes on. You sit it on the table or whatever, and it does. It looks like nothing. But the 3DS recognizes it as and pops this kind of cube.
Oh, right.
out of it, and then what you do is you shoot the cube, and then different targets all kind of pop out of this 3D box.
Oh,
it's
right.
Absolutely incredibly impressive. But augmented reality.
Yes.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely amazing.
Well, I played Pilot Wings, and the only thing is you do have to hold it at a fixed angle. You know, if you can't stray away and relax back, you've got to stay very fixed. But, Pilot Wings. Oh, It's got a place in my heart, that game. I won't pay £200 for it.
Well, do you know, I did think that they were quite impressive, but it did take me about 5 minutes for my eyes to go back to normal.
Don't joke. About 15, 20 minutes after that, and we're walking out the Apple Store. In fact, it must have been longer than that. My eyes still felt strained. I really did feel my eyes straining.
They were very, very strange, very weird.
So, that's just my view on TV as well. You know, it's just not worth it. Anyway, Sky News iPad app. If you picked up an iPad 2, get that. Ignore the fact that Rupert's some sort of Tory scum that's going to just try and rule the world.
What do you mean, try?
Well, he doesn't yet.
Not quite.
Henry, your pick.
My pick is an app called Wunderlist, or Wunderlist, because it's from Germany.
The Germans.
The Germans have come up with a very good app. And it's just a list management.
What a pair of racists.
A la Remember the Milk, or, you know, any one of those other
Not Remember the War.
I don't remember the war.
Sorry.
Never mind. What I like about this is it's one of the, and just another service where it's syncing to a server, but the subscription rate is very good. It's free. So something to have a look at. So you can sync across your desktop or your iOS or Android apps as well. I've had this for a few weeks now, quite enjoyed using it. It did have a couple of bugs I didn't like the way you were deleting. When you deleted a task, it didn't actually go back to the previous screen. It just kind of sat there. But they've updated that, got rid of a lot of the bugs now. And I feel it's worth recommending and having a look. It's made with Titanium, which is one of these cross-platform JavaScript development tools where you write in JavaScript and then compile to both Android and iOS from the same place, which is quite interesting, and it's very nice looking app. And as Ian said, they've got a very nice about page on their website, which you can see in the show notes.
Fantastic, but it looks really, really good. Really, really good. And that's us for this week. If you'd like to find out more, our website is digitaloutbox.com. You can email us, info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. Any iPad 2 thoughts, send them in, honestly. We'll play anybody. You know, so send it in the Skype. And yeah, you too could be on next week's show. Or the week after, if we're lazy again. And I'll also do my little plea, because Chris isn't here. Chris always begs better than me. I think it's a hate thing. He's always got that kind of Oliver face about him. But please go to iTunes and give us a rating. Make little Chris happy. Henry, where can we find out more about you?
You can find me as Talk Rhubarb on Twitter.
And for me, my website is END.net. And I'm on Twitter as Schweepa. Which I don't know why I made it sound almost German-like, but there you go.
Schweeper.
Schweeper. We have ways of making you talk. So thanks for listening. Tune in again soon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I'm just glad I got through that without mentioning beach towels. Yeah. Oh, absolute class.
Some of my best friends are Germans. Maybe not for long.
Yeah. Maybe not.
I don't think they listen to the podcast.
Maybe not publicise this episode.
The xenophobic one.